Okay, today's shiur we learn is Daf Chaf Gimel, and we got a few lines down. So we're up to Reb Yochanan. So this is referring to the case where there's a wall between two houses, meaning one's of Avodah Zarah and one is of the Jew. And we said Mechetzah Kasha and Mechetzah is us, so not Koshtei, obviously, but in terms of Isur Hana or not. You can all, in terms of the rubble, well, let's read the Mishnah once again. How shall Avodah Zarah, if the adjoining wall belong to him and Avodah Zarah, said, you don't mechetza mechetza, half of it is asur and half of it is mutar. Because the wall towards Avodah Zarah side is going to be asur, one inside is mutar. And if it collapses, which is avanav, the avanim and the wood and the afar would be tamei kasheretz. So the question is, how do you have a situation where the wall is mechetza mutar, mechetza asur? So the way Rabbi Yochanan explains it, patalom nita beger v'goy sheyarshu goy. It must be, they're referring to a case where this house was a single house owned by one person. And the sons inherited it. One was a goy and one was a Jew. And that's how can be mechetza kasher, mechetza, or chetza avodah zarah, mechetza belonged to the Jew. Why? Because it's a velama lo pata la beshabbat avodah v'nismecha lo. Why do you simply say that it was, a Jewish house and the avodah zarah built next to it and shared the wall? So Tani, bat avodah zarah v'nismecha lo. That is because if in that situation, if you have a house, and Avodah Zarah came, the house of Avodah Zarah was built next to it. And Halchalo, and then went. Halchalo means the Naflaha Kotel, the wall collapses. We say Mutar. Why? Because now, Daharehu Kamoshaya Betchila. It's like the beginning when there was no Avodah Zarah, and that wall was completely owned by you, and therefore the whole wall would be Mutar. All the stones. However, we said aval ger v'goy avihem. We say a goy, then it's asur in that situation, since from the outset it is both owned by the goy and the ger, meaning avodah zarah and the Jew. That's why in that situation mechetzah mechasha mechetzah pasul, even after it collapsed. Okay, let's continue. Well, not pasul, asur. Okay, Tani. What happens if you got avodah zarah comes is now built next to you? V'chakach goes is mutar. Aval. Im bahul. What if there's a beit avodah zarah and then you build a house next to it? V'nismach al avodah zarah, kol habayit l'shem avodah zarah. What we say here is, according to Moshe, he says that the whole house is considered avodah zarah. Mimeshe kadma avodah zarah is the avodah zarah came first, and this is almost like, let's call it an extension of the house of avodah zarah. That's what we're saying. Now, if that situation, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, if that Amar Rabbi Yossi, Manita Amar Ken, therefore, which is Hayash Shelo v'Shel Avodah Zara, you don't mechetz mechetz. Now, here the Pnei Moshe has a unique explanation, which I don't fully understand, but I'll give it over to you now. It says Klomar, Dahashimomina. Now that we've brought this special din, that if you build a house next to half of Avodah Zara, we say that it's Kol HaBayit L'Shem Avodah Zara. Now we say that what? You don't have to explain our Mishnah. He's saying we can say Dahashim Governor. We can explain our Mishnah exactly the same way. And then you have to explain that our case is specific. In our Mishnah, specifically talking about a case where a ger and a nochri were yorish the house of his father, and therefore split it down the middle. That's why the walls is mechetza kasher, mechetza asur. However, Ella, it could be shayash el avodah zarah. We're talking about a house built, and then you build your house next to the wall of avodah zarah. Then imim nafal asul levnotah. And if it collapses, you're not allowed to build it again. That's exactly like our Mishnah, because if the wall in the middle collapses, you'll be building for the avodah zarah. And vahinu danana haitash shelo v'shel avazor. The reason why it's mechetza mechetza, why dechetz yashel avazor nishara beisuro. We're talking about now when it collapses. That's what he's saying. When it collapses, the half that was avodah zarah, now it's like avodah zarah betchila. That your half, the fill, is no longer considered an adjunct. This is why I'm understanding it to the house of avodah zarah. It's now separate. So therefore, your parts are mechetza kasha, mechetza pasul. I mean, your parts are kasha. Let's put it that way. Okay, which is a bit like we said before, that if the avodah zarah was built next to your place and then it collapses, then your stones are not affected by it. Okay, in other words, the collapse of it or the collapse of the wall in between, which is actually probably not the same, because before we said that all it becomes us really mortar, and here we're saying all mechetz kasha mechetz pasul. Okay, but I think the point is that once a wall collapses, it's not considered adjunct anymore, and that's why you can have mechetza kasher, mechetza asur. Okay, that's the way he explains it, and that's why I tried to give it over. Okay, let's continue. Shosha batimim. There are three types of houses. Bait shebanu b'tchila avodah zara. If you got houses built in ishtifot avodah zara, then it's asur. Now, just don't forget that machlok we said before we regarding this Mishnah, and that was discussion or regarding a house. That if something that was talush mechubar, and now it is, and that was initially talush and that's mechubar, is it considered still talush or not? Okay. So if we got a house that was, all it says here is a house that was built for avodah zara, hare zeh asur. Has it been worshipped yet? That doesn't appear so. We'll get to that in a minute. Saibu v'chayru, that's the reason why I'm giving you these points to think about, is it's going to be important for the continuation of the Gemara, and which is quite a complex daf in terms of the different perushim to understand what's happening. All right, Saibu v'chayru l'shem, if someone simply plastered the walls for avodah zara, v'chidesh, and added some other sort of innovation to the house, how do you make that house now mutar? Just remove it. Not tell Mashi Chidesh, and then it's fine. So remove the plastering, and then for the house is no longer us anymore. Interestingly, though, again, I want you to be in tune to this. When the Reisha, when the house was built for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't seem to imply that there's a way to make it mortar. It just says Asur. The second case talks about the fact, okay, just move the plaster work, remove the additions, and the house will be fine. Finally, if you simply brought in an avodah zara into the house and then removed it, then it would be mutar. Okay, so the way to mutar a house that wasn't built for avodah zara, there's just, I don't know, a tenant comes in and places an idol of avodah zara in that house, just remove the avodah zara and the house is fine. Okay, now Shosha Batinhen, Rav Rav Yochanan, they said Traveu Amrin, they both say Rav and Rav Yochanan. That this is referring to b'hachnasatan. Our mission is talking about when they first came to Eretz Israel. Now the question is, why do I need to know this? Why does both Rav and Rav Yochanan, now remember they both debated regarding whether if it's talush u'mechubar is considered talush or not, okay? But both of them say our mission is referring to b'hachnasatan la'aretz when it's coming to Eretz Israel, that particular time in history. Al da'at de Rav. We said, according to Rav, if you bow to a house, we said it's considered talush. That's why it is as then it's asur. Begin Ken. That's why to explain pata la'aretz. That's why the Mishnah. That's why they had to explain the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is b'knisatan la'aretz. So there's two ways to explain this. You know, we'll explain first like the Pnei Moshe, and then we'll explain it like the Ritbaz. We have a bit more time, and this is quite complicated, so let's just spend some time on it. He says, "Hachnasal mentioned Mishum de Kasha." This is the way Pnei Moshe explains it. De Kasha lohu, my iria diktanim bayit sheban ol mitchilal avodah zara. Why do I have to explain this house? The Mishnah talking about a house that was built for the purpose of avodah zara. Lidni amishtachavela bayit. Why do you simply say bowing to our house? Gamken asro kamoshe ban ol mitchilal avodah zara. Just like building house avodah zara will be asur, so bowing to our house would be able to make it asur as well. That would be the same case, right? Hilkach b'farshim manita milta gav orcha k'tani. No, the b'shaknis and ha'aretz matu batin benuin the avodah zara. That's why Rav explains. In other words, he's explained the Mishnah. The Mishnah could have equally said bait she'ishtachava lo asur. The reason why the Mishnah says bait she'benu la avodah zara is asur is milta gav orcha k'mashma. In other words, we're talking about the time when they went into Eretz Israel. Oh, I can understand why he said. It's talking about historic perspective. This is when they came to Eretz Israel. Bait she'bana ol, where house was built for avodah zara. Okay, that's asur. That makes a lot of sense. However, and that's the way he explains it. Mr. Milta Agav Orka Kabashban. However, Al Dat Rabbi Yochanan, Dat Rabbi Yochanan, do Amar Maktisha Bayit Ein Mo Limbo. So if someone's Maktisha house, and it doesn't become asur b'me'ila because it's considered muchubar lekarka. It says v'ifteranah b'bishtacha. Why didn't he explain the Mishnah? In other words, the reason the Mishnah said Bayit Shemana Mitchelal Avodah Zarah, why didn't he explain the Mishnah as referring to a case where one bowed to the house? Okay, that would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah that's still Asur. What are you talking about? Bowing to house makes it doesn't make it Asur. We just said it doesn't make it Asur. So this is where it gets interesting. But then Moshe says, Al Dat Rabbi Yochanan says that even though we've just said Ein Mo'alim Bo doesn't mean that it's not considered Hekdesh. It means the Isur of Hekdesh doesn't apply to it. So it's again, technically it's not Hekdesh, but sometimes when you learn in Mishnah, it's in Malimbo, it still says, however, that you still shouldn't get Hana from it. Okay, in other words, it's still Machmir. Is it Mila Doraita? No, but we're still Machmir.
So therefore, it could have said the Chiddush the Mishnah is, or talking about a case mishtachavelo, where he bowed to it, and because he bowed to it, it's asu midrabanan, rabbinically asu. That's why Penemosh explains the flow of the sugya. So once again, the flow of the sugya is, according to the Pnei Moshe, we've got three batim, Beit Shemo Mitchala Lavodozara. The Gemara is saying, why are you talking about Beit Shebano Lavodozara? And the Gemara says, oh, the Chiddush is because Bichnisatan Aretz Metnita. According to Rava, I understand that. Because according to Rava, it could have been either he bowed to it or he built it for the, in other words, either is enough to make the house Asur. Ah, the reason why it said Bichnisatan, why the reason why the Mishnah simply said, oh, by Chamanola, the house was built for the Avodah Zarah, so it's because of Toi Bichnisatan La'aretz. That makes sense. However, why does Rabbi Yochanan just say Bichnisatan La'aretz, talking about Bichnisatan La'aretz? He could have said, we're talking about a case where it was bowed to, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though there's like, in the, let's look like the Kei Hektish Ein Mo'alim Bo, it's still Asur, the Silly Suda Rabbanan. That would have been the Chiddush. I'd have to go into the fact in Bichnisatan La'aretz. So the Gemara says, the answer is there isn't his vift. Again, mishtechav al habayit. So a mishtechav al habayit, yesh lo bitul, b'achnasana ein lo bitul. No, the difference is, a house that was in mishtechav al habayit, there is bitul. Bitul meaning that you can, they can make it mutar. And since our Mishnah didn't talk about a case, it didn't mention a way of making it mutar, like the other two cases where you can just remove the plasterwork or take the avodah zarah out, mashmamas means there was no bitul. And when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was no bitul. Right, everything that had to come and destroy all the makamot avodah zarah. That's why Rabbi Yochanan is saying our Mishnah is talking about bichnisatan la'aretz. Okay, so according to Rav, the reason why bichnisatan la'aretz was just agav, you know, just teaching us, oh, that's because even though if someone's mishtachavel abayit, it becomes also no, it's just talking about bichnisatan la'aretz because that's what they found when they came to Eretz Israel. Houses were built of avodah zarah. Rabbi Yochanan, why does he think it's Knesset Haaretz? Oh, because when they came to Israel, the Knesset Haaretz, they had to all be destroyed. There was no way of making those houses mutar. That's a chiddush. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would hold the Mishtachav El Abayit, there is a way of making a mutar. You can again, fine. That is his flow of the sugya. For your benefit, the Oscar also brings a ribaz on this one, but I thought I'd share it with you now. The ribaz says the flow is slightly different. He says that our Mishnah doesn't talk about, all it talks about building a house for Avodah Zarah. And even according to Rav, building a house for Avodah Zarah purposes doesn't make it Asur yet. Rav, who's verse of being Talush, it has to be Hishtachavala. You have to bow to it to make it Asur. Or Verota. Now this will relate to a sugya later on, by the way, if the construction of something makes it Asur, or you have to actually bow to it as well. That's a discussion we'll see according to Rav later on, and also in a few Dapim time. Okay? So Dov, you're frowning? You want to say something?
The architecture doesn't make a difference?
Just the building of the building, right? It doesn't seem to be a that's the way he's saying it. That's why he's holding
obvious,
it now.
So an obvious shrine.
Obvious shrine, unless it's been worshipped or anything, it's just been built, it's not Asul yet.
Uh-huh.
Ah, so the Chiruch is, why didn't it say B'knisatan la'aretz? Because our Mishnah doesn't talk about that. It all says Beit Shebano'o. A house was built for Avodah Zarah Asur without even worshipping. Oh, that's B'knisatan La'aretz. The Chiddush was when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they came Asur immediately. What about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll say, Kima de Sfirale, I'll just show you the bottom. Kima de Sfirale, the Makdish Abayit Ein Bo Alin Bo, Mishrom Davakum Mechubar, it's considered attached to the ground in Meile. Lo Neister, even bowing to it wouldn't make it Asur. Right? And in Ken Kashi, why do you refer to it as Knisatan La'aretz? Because for him, bowing to it also need to be constructed for Avodah Zarah to make it Asur. So I don't need to say Knisatan La'aretz. Because according to him, you need to say Bana'o Mitchila Avodah Zarah as well as bowing. Like, you need the Bana'o Mitchila to make it work. Now that's a chiddush, by the way. Because some people say that even if it's built according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's still Mechuba L'Karkas. The combination of building it for the purpose and bowing is not going to make the house Asur. Okay, that's a discussion on the Ribaz. But the conclusion, once again, is this idea that B'knisatan Aretz Chiddush was, is that we said that Ein Lo Bitul. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Ketzer Yaseh, okay, you said you can mevatel this house of Avodah Zarah according to whichever Shita. How would you do that? It says, Ketzer Yaseh, mefarek et p'tzimav. All you have to do is remove the frames, the door frames, and that'll make it mutar. Now, what's interesting here, the Panei Moshe says we're about the second case. A case that was tzayir over sayad over chidesh. So you've plastered it, you've done sort of made some like amended the certain things in the house for avodah zara. That's the house is asur until you do what? How can you make a mutar? You just remove those things. Now we've got Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Lazar. He says that in that case, it's not asur unless you bring avodah zara into the house. We've got a kasha because the third case is talking about a case where you bring an avodah zara into the house. It says al dat Rabbi Elazar, then is only shnei batim. There are only two houses that are asur. Okay, so the Gemara says no. Vatan in our Mishnah says so three. So the Gemara says no. Kanasha kanashahut, meaning one is temporary and one is if it's more with permanence. So I'll show you here. Kanasha b'seifa when it shelo asa klala v'chem avodah zara nechnis otoch avodah zara, the seifa they're talking about bringing avodah zara inside the house. That's when it was done temporarily. Therefore, just when you just the guy brought in, you take it out. The house is mutar. However. The kan mean this middle case shech mis avodah zara leshehut that batocho kol zman shachidush chidesh shachidush avodah zara. There you made renovations, you made some changes, and you bought avodah zara in for the entire time. Therefore, you can't just take the avodah zara out. You've also got to remove all the changes you made to the house. Okay, or they mentioned the change to the house. Next. Shlosha avanim hem. There are three types of stones. So the bimus here, I'm not sure how we explained it previously. I think we explained it differently. But here, the understanding this bimus is like a stone that was used as a stand on which avodah zara would be placed. So it's chatzva. It's been hewn for that purpose. It is asura. Okay. If I took a pre-existing stone and I just simply say to the chayra, I just made this like paintwork around it or plastered it, the shem avodah zara. V'chidesh and make some, chidesh gives an interesting thing here, but I made some changes. We say, okay, therefore just remove notamash chidesh, then it's fine. However, if it's just a regular stone, himid alei avodah zara, and a stone is placed on it, all you have to do is take the stone off, the silka, and that stone will be mutar. Okay, those are the three different types of stones. Now the Gemara says, shlosha avanim hen. Rav Baz says b'shem Rav, mizul hamyutachin l'avodah zara ne'esar miyad. Something that was melted, or you know, metalwork for avodah zara would be asur immediately. So to preach this, I show you the Ridbaz. He says that dafilu lamanda amar de'enu asur ala mishteaver. Despite the fact there's a machloket sometimes when you make certain things avodah zara, there's a debate that when does it become asur? Is it immediately or only once you worship it? However, haya bebone minatalush shema. That's when you're bone minatalush avodah zara. That's when you're taking things. Like you're constructing things that are detached from the ground for the sake of avodah zara. Aval shechotzev b'mechubar. If you're hewing out, you're quarrying out a stone, v'nitlach l'avodah zara shleima, and you take it out for avodah zara in its complete form, that's considered a maaseh chashuv. That's considered a substantive act, not just like legoing things together, but mamash. Therefore, the kula alma, everyone agree that it's asur miyad. Okay, so it's interesting now. This is why it's important to the Ribaz, that even though there's some debate when you make some of a zara is asul miyada only once it's worshipped. If it's what's considered a maisa chashuv, let's call it absolute creative act, hewing a rock from a like a quarry, quarrying it out, or melting down some metal to make some sort of a zara, that's considered that would make it asul miyad. Okay, that is his position. That's what the idea is. Now we've got an interesting flow of the sugi, which is, again is debated. Let's continue. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Elazar, mizul matiach kos avodah zara ne'esar miyad. If that's the case, if I just make a cup for avodah zara, so I'm forming it, completely forming it for avodah zara, it'll also be asul miyad. Now, very important to understand, why are we saying mizul? Because if you appreciate, are we worshipping a cup? No, it's a mishamshe avodah zara. But the case in the Mishnah, with the first case, when Evan Shechatzva Metchila, the Bimos we said is an object on which the avodah zara was placed upon. So you see here from the Sugya, his Medayek from the Mishnah, that if you say this just hewing it out is making Asumiyad, so too, also any Mishamshe avodah zara, it seems to be, if it's again a substantive act, would be Asumiyad. That's what it seems to be saying. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah saying the case of Rebbe Lazar. You've got Rav Ila says name Rav Elazar, but who shall mira le avodah zarah? No, it's only us who want to put the avodah zarah on top of it. Now that seems to be a contradiction. So that's why it says, interestingly here, machlav v'shitatei de, you'd expect here to say Rav Elazar, and that's what the art scroll does. The art scroll changes this, and this seems to be a kasha when this is Rav Elazar. Okay, the Tamanu, it's once you matiach kol avodah zarah asur biyad v'hacha hu omer hachin. Now it seems to be here. Which means husha midaleya, and that's why the art scroll explains the sugya, and it's mechalek as a continuation of the mission of the Gemara. It says oitzek shemachloket tanaim is asul miyad or asul only once it's an eva. Okay. However, the mafarshim we have around us in the Gemara, the Pnei Moshe and the Ribaz says this machlokes the Rav is taken in a sugya from a few daf time, which doesn't relate to our sugya here. Bnei Moshe says, "Oh, that statement of Rav is also referring to the sugi there." So the Mafarshim and the Daf say here say that it's referring to that sugi over there. I'll explain that in a moment what that is. But important to understand is we've got no problem saying this there in the Shita of Rav Elazar because according to Ribaz, you'll see there are three understandings of Shita Rav Elazar regarding the Mesham Shemeya when they become Asur or when they, if they're Mayad or Achar Zman. Okay, which is effectively like the resolution that Reb Simcha does by saying it's machlok tanaim, but here it seems to be according to Ribaz, it's machloket amoraim. But what if we keep the girsa as we have it in front of us? What's this machlafa shitatei de Rav? So if you appreciate this, Pene Moshe fills in the gaps for us. He says la kama perek dalet alacha dalet mitzvah Hashem. We'll see this in a few daf time. It says garsina al manitim avodah zarah shel nochri asura miyad. The avodah zarah of nochri is asur immediately. The kamarav hatam bimus lo batil. That the mus is the, if you like, as with the platform, as in our Mishnah, you cannot mamatel it. Klomar bimus shenaaseh la'amid avodah zarah le'ah, and you took the avodah zarah off it, okay? Ubitla. You, in other words, you mevatel the avodah zarah. Nonetheless, the bimus, the standard which the avodah was placed on, is lo batel, is not batel. Okay. Da'amrina datu la'amid le'ah al avodah zarah cheret, because the assumption is, okay, you may have got rid of one avodah zarah, but this bimus is just a great little stand, and your intention is perhaps to place another one on top of it. So therefore, it would be asr. Okay. Umedayik hashasala sham ha'im bitlo. So therefore, you can medayik that if you wanted to mevatel this bimus, then it is what? Then you'd be able to if you did it directly, because the only reason why it's still asr is the assumption is you only mevatel the avodah zarah. And you're going to bring another avodah zarah and place it on it. But if you said, "I'm not interested in the avodah zarah and the bimos," you'll be able to mevatel it. So, not you. I'm saying the avodah zarah. I'm not saying you, but it's avodah zarah. The goy you worship it, and therefore you mevatel it. You can mevatel it. So tamam min intahacha behiya daik lamizusha min hamatiach kos, which is the matiach kos like Rabbi Lazar Levi. V'hachu marhacha meaning bimos in bitlo if batel. But according to us, it's asumiyad. You don't see that you can mevatel it. Okay, so it seems to be that whether you can mevatel, not whether it's asumiyad or not, when you can mevatel this mishamshe avodah zarah, is a steer within shittat rav. The bimos you can mevatel it. Here matiach kos it's asumiyad. Seems to be you can't mevatel it. So that's why I say patar la. You can explain it. This is like Pene Moshe. Kahanin Tanaya de Tatina Taman Avodah Zarah Shel Nochri Asur Miyad V'Shel Yisrael Mishta'aved. That the Avodah Zarah of Nochri is Asur Miyad, but Yisrael makes an Avodah Zarah, it's only once it's worshipped. Okay, I'll read the Pene Moshe. De Lekaman Pligi Tanayi De Ike Laman of Ifcha. Some say the opposite. The Sefer Le Avodah Zarah Shel Asur Miyad V'Shel Nochri Ad Shte'aved. So it's a machloket which way around it is. Is it the Nochri is Asur immediately, but Yisrael only once it's worshipped, or is it the other way around? The Yisrael is also immediately and the Nochri is once it's worshipped. Umoki Rav and Rofi, therefore Rav lematniti aliba de mamna shel Nochriya. Therefore here must be referring to that the Nochri is also miyad. Umilta Rav de hatam, and there that says you can mevatel aliba de manda amma shel Nochri enu asur ad shteaved. That of a Nochri is only asur once it's worshipped. And that's how you can resolve the position of Rav. So the Gemara says, Klum pligi, but 1 second, it seems to be machlok, it's only regarding Avodah Zarah. Dilma mav. Who says the machlok? It's about the Mishamshamav. There's a debate regarding the Mishamshamav, meaning like the bimos, things like that that came to the accessories of the Avodah Zarah. So, and then Rav Shimon ben b'shem Rav Elazar af misham shema avodah zara machloket. He says, no, even the machloket applies to that as well. Now, I kind of explained the flow like the Pnei Moshe. What's interesting here is in the conclusion of the Ritbaz, he says, look, there's three machloket b'davar. There's three positions, just to summarize the sugya, according to Ritbaz's reading, according to Rav Elazar. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, name of Rav Elazar, the misham shema avodah kula alma is asur immediately. That was Rabbi Yirmiyah in the beginning. Hemtiach kosher avada, it's asu miyad. Rav Hila, which was the second statement in the Rav Elazar we saw, which we saw, if you like, contradicted it. He says everyone holds lekula alma ad shteaved, that it's asur only, that the mishamshim only asur once it is worshipped. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, which we just brought now, svirale delone adifa velo gara mishamshim avodah kachavim atzma. There's really mishamshim is no different avodah zarah themselves. Vetarveu shavim, and it's meaning talui ba machloket, it's actually machloket, whether it's immediate or whether it is only once it's worshipped. Okay, so there's three ways to all name Rabbi Lazar, but there's effectively a machloket, a three-way machloket in Amoraim regarding when the Meshamshimim become asur. Is it immediately, is it only once it's worshipped, or is it really subject to the same debate we find by the Avodah Zarah itself? Okay, yafe. Now we go back to the statement of Rabbi Lazar, Rav Ila. That was the second position or the second shita we saw in the name of Rav Elazar. So Rav Ila says b'shem Rav Elazar, v'hu shemira le'avodah zarah, meaning very much like we saw, if you tayaro, you plaster this nice bimos and then put not you and the avodah zarah and the goy the avodah zarah placed a avodah zarah on it. So it's only us once avodah zarah is placed on it. So adad Rav Elazar shnei avanim. But according to that, just like we were saying Kasha before, there's only two cases because the third case is only asur once you put avodah zarah on it. Now you're telling me the second case is also only asur once you put avodah zarah on it. That's the same as the second case, the same as the third case. What's the difference between the cases? And just like Vataninam, we said there are three avanim, shosh avanim. Mash, it seemed to imply that if you chayarol avodah zarah, if you just simply place avodah zarah, become asur miyad, and without placing avodah zarah on it. So he says no, kanasha, kanashahot. Again, once again, it's the difference in the second and third case is whether it was a temporary thing you put on it and then you put on temporarily this avodah zarah, and we said, oh, simply take off, it's fine. And the other one, the middle case, is when you wanted to do it for a longer period of time, and therefore you'd have to remove all the plaster work. And that would be it. Okay, Seder, Kol Tov, have a good day.
Thank you.